All right. I think I'm good. Can you hear me, Johnny? You good? All righty. We'll go to Galatians chapter number 3 is where we'll be tonight. Galatians chapter number 3. I'm sorry the board behind me is not working, but that's okay. We'll get right through that. They made it through technology before we had it, so we'll be all right, won't we? So Galatians 3 is where we'll be tonight. And what we're going to do, we went through the first 5 verses last time in chapter number 3, and I'll give you a quick review on that here in a minute. But we're going to read verse number 6 through verse number 14 tonight. That's kind of how it's broken up in chapter number 3 of Galatians. Of course, you know this is the Apostle Paul writing to the churches in Galatians. Verse 6, he says this: "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now this is what I want you to do before we continue to read. Those of you that mark, I want you to mark every time you see the word believe or faith. Alright? It's a lot. So go back to verse 7. "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit," and there it is one more time, "through faith." So faith is mentioned a lot of times right there in our text. Before we get started, of course, you know we're going to have Sunday school again on Sunday. You've heard the story of the church that was having Sunday school with their children. And the teacher had done an amazing job about telling the children there is only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. So at the end of the lesson, she began to ask all the children, she said, "All right, we're going to give you a quiz. Now let's say I go to my neighbor's house, I cook a dinner for him, I lay out everything perfect for him, and it's a perfect dinner for that family. Will that be enough to get me to heaven?" And the children all cry out and say, "No!" They say, "All right, well, there's an elderly lady in our church. Let's say I go to her house and I cut the grass, I weed eat, I blow, I do everything I need to do. Is that enough to get me to heaven, class?" And of course, they resound, "No!" She says, "Well, what in the world does it take to get to heaven?" Well, little Johnny in the back pipes up and says, "Well, you've got to be dead first." In this letter tonight, Paul basically answers the question, not only how do you get to heaven, but how do you become righteous enough with God to get to heaven? Because the overarching question all throughout the letter of Galatians is, how are people made righteous? How are you and I saved? How are you and I justified? And it is only two possible options. It is either through faith, or it is through keeping the law. And that's the argument here. How are you made righteous? Is it through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it through keeping the law? And of course, we've talked about how the Judaizers said, well, in order for you to be justified, you have to become Jews, and you must also keep the law. That's what they said. In order to be righteous, you've got to be a Jew, and you've also got to keep the law. But the Apostle Paul, of course, he begins to defend the gospel and says there's no way that can be so, for justification comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So that's what Paul is teaching here in Galatians. Most of you growing up had a Scofield Bible. That was one of the first Bibles that had study notes at the bottom of them. And C.I. Scofield defined justification for us. Justification is the act of God whereby He declares righteous the one who believes in Christ. That is justification. When somebody puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God takes His righteousness and puts it in their account. That is what justification is. When we're born into this world, our account is zero righteousness. But when you and I put our faith in Christ, God puts 100% righteousness in our account. So that's what justification is. And you'll notice, righteousness isn't something that you and I gain by our own effort. The Bible teaches righteousness is something we are gifted as a free gift from God. And that's why we teach that salvation is a free gift. It is the gift of God. Now, Paul begins in chapter number 3 defending this doctrine of justification by faith alone. And you notice how many times he used the word faith or the word belief. So it is obvious that he's trying to tell the people salvation does not come through keeping the law. Salvation comes through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's proving here in chapter 3. And last week we looked at the first 5 verses. And he's using evidence here the same way you would use in court to prove a truth. You've got to have evidence. Well, Paul is using evidence to prove that the only way to be saved is through faith. And last week we saw that the Galatians' experience actually proved the only way to be saved was faith. But now in these next few verses from verse 6 to verse 10, Paul is going to move to his second piece of evidence. Because not only does their experience prove it, but I want you to listen to this. A man named Abraham proves this doctrine as well. Now, I don't know about you. Most of us grew up in church from the time we could walk. And one of the first people you learn about in children's church is who? Abraham. Abraham is one of the first people you and I learn about growing up. And what's interesting is when you get to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is going to use Abraham as a man. Listen, he lived 4,000 years ago. And in Paul's time, Abraham lived 2,000 years ago. And Paul brings him up and he says, I want to tell you something. Abraham may have lived 2,000 years ago, but Abraham proves that a man can only be saved one way, and that is through faith. So that's what Paul is going to talk about tonight. So I want you to look at verse number 6. He's about to prove it. Look at what it says. It says, even as Abraham worked for God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, did I read that right? No. It says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. All that means is when Abraham put his faith in God, God says, well, here's my righteousness. 100% righteousness. Now, let's talk Abraham just for a few minutes. I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. I know you can't see him back there, but I'm going to give it to you. Number one, I want you to see the faith of Abraham in verse number 6. Now, I want somebody to answer this question for me, okay? Don't just stare at me. If I were to ask you, who was your hero growing up, Jerry, what would you say?
John Wayne.
That's what I'm talking about. I have that written down. I said it's either John Wayne, Ronald Reagan, or the Lone Ranger. Anybody hero the Lone Ranger? I know your hero. Little Joe. Little Joe and Hoss. Hoss. Somehow they gave Landon the name Michael Landon to be after Little Joe. Now, does he look like Little Joe? He looks more like Hoss to me. Is that right? Yeah. That's more of Hoss Cartwright if I've ever seen Hoss Cartwright before. But we all had heroes growing up. You like Hoss? So you want to change your answer? Okay. You can have two. All right, that's fine. But I tell you that to tell you this. If you were to ask the Jew who was living in the time of Jesus, who's your hero? 99% of them would say that is an easy question. It is Abraham. To religious Jews, Abraham was their hero. Now, Abraham is mentioned 73 times in the New Testament. The New Testament, Abraham is mentioned 73 times, and he died 2,000 years before the New Testament was ever written. That shows you how important he was in the time of Christ. Because, listen, to every single Jew, Abraham was their father. Abraham was the father of the Jewish people. You say, what does that mean? The same way Adam is our father. Adam is our father. That means every single person came from Adam. Abraham to be the father of the Jews means if you are a Jew, you came from Abraham. You came from Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. So if you're a Jew, your father is Abraham. And because their father was Abraham, it led to them believing some false stuff. You see, most people, especially in Jesus' day, and even so now today, they believe that just because they were Jewish and they were the children of Abraham, they were good with God. In other words, because they're Jewish, you don't need to repent. Because you're Jewish, you don't need to get saved. You are right with God the moment you are born as a Jew. But let me say this. You're not made right with God by the way you're born. You're made right with God when you are reborn. When you are born again. But anyway, Jews took Abraham not only as their hero, but as their example. If Abraham did it, they wanted to do it. And you know, I was thinking about that. He's not a bad example to follow, to be honest with you. He's really not a bad example to follow. Yes, he was a failure just like us, but the man was obedient to God, wasn't he? God said, get up and move. Abraham said, where? He said, don't worry about it, just go. And you know what he did? He got up and went. He said, sacrifice to me your one and only son, Abraham. You know what he did? He got up and he was willing to do it. Went all the way up there, even had the knife in his hand ready to do it. And God said, no. The man was obedient to God. We should all strive to be that obedient to God. But you see, they followed Abraham as their example, Brother Johnny. You know what they also said? That, you know, Abraham was obedient. Abraham was circumcised. And Abraham also kept the law. So if there's any example that we're going to follow, it's Abraham. And to them, listen, if anyone was righteous and if anybody was going to get to heaven one day, it was Abraham. Because if you're honest, if anybody has ever made it to heaven because of how good they were, you could probably say Abraham. He's one of the best ones to be obedient to God. But did you know nobody has ever made it there because of their own works? Even Abraham. And the question is, they said, you know, Abraham's righteous. The question then became, how? How did Abraham become righteous? And the Jews would say, look at what he did. Look at his obedience. Look at his works. Look at his keeping of the law. Look at all those things. Of course he's righteous by the things that he did. But Paul pipes up and says, now hold on. I don't know about y'all, but my Bible teaches differently. My Bible teaches that Abraham was not saved by works. He was saved by faith. Paul is going to take their own evidence and use it against them to smash their case. Paul basically comes up and says, oh, Abraham's y'all's hero, huh? Yeah, he said y'all. Abraham's y'all's hero, huh? He says, well, since he's your hero, let's talk about how Abraham got saved. In verse 6, he writes, Abraham believed. That's another word for faith. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. They say, well, that's just your opinion. Paul says, no, that's the Bible's opinion. Go back to Genesis 15. First book in the Bible. I want you to see this, okay? Genesis chapter number 15. Because verse 6 of Galatians 3 is a direct quote from Genesis 15. Abraham believed God and God gave him righteousness. Genesis chapter number 15. We're going back to Abraham. How in the world was Abraham saved? Even in the book of Genesis. Genesis 15 verse 1. We'll read through the verse number 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Abraham's about 85 years old at this point. 10 years earlier, God said, you're going to have children, and they're going to be as numerous as the stars. And Abraham's saying, it's been 10 years, God, you ain't gave me nothing. So I'm going childless, and the steward or the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, and he's not even my child. Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and one born in my house is mine heir. And the Lord came to him and said, he shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and count or tell the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And look at verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. There it is right there. The very moment in time that Abraham got saved. The very moment in time that God credited Abraham with righteousness. Now let's talk about this. Because this actually changed my opinion this week. Did you know Abraham's not a Jew? Abraham is not a Jew. He is the father of Jews, but the first Jew was Isaac. Abraham was born in a family in Babylon. They worship false gods. And because he was born in that family, that makes Abraham a Gentile. So Abraham is not a Jew, he's a Gentile. When you get to chapter 15 of Genesis, Abraham wasn't circumcised at that point. He's 86 years old. He's not circumcised. And when you get to chapter 15 of Genesis, guess what? There is no such thing as the law of God. That's not even in existence yet. So Paul takes these people back to Genesis 15 and says, let's talk about this. The Bible says Abraham was not a Jew. The Bible says he was not circumcised. And the Bible says there wasn't even a such thing as a law in Genesis 15. Yet despite all of those things, God said, you're righteous. And Paul says, well, let's talk about it. Did God give Abraham righteousness because he was a Jew? I say, no, he wasn't. Did God give Abraham righteousness because he was circumcised? I say, no, he wasn't yet. Oh, here it is. God gave Abraham righteousness because he kept the law. And then Jews just put their head down. No, there wasn't such a thing as a law in the time of Abraham. And I believe Paul gave him a wink. And just smiled. At least that's what I'd have done. I'd have said, case closed. Right? And he probably gives them one of those and he says, well, boys, that only leaves one option then, doesn't it? By faith and by faith alone. Can I tell you tonight, church, that's a lot of evidence right there. And that's really, if we only had that, that's all the evidence we need, because that shows me that even in the New Testament, people were not saved because they were good enough to be saved. That shows me in the Old Testament, they were not saved because they kept the law. They were saved because they put their faith in God's Word. And you knew how, if you got saved, you know how you and I are saved? By believing what God said. God said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you put your faith in the One who died for you, the Bible says you have everlasting life. And my friends, when you put your faith in Christ, that very moment God says, here's righteousness. And He puts it in our account. I'm telling you, when Paul brought out this evidence, let me tell you what that was like. Some of y'all think this is funny, you may not. This was like them bringing O.J.'s bloody glove in the courtroom. When you brought in O.J.'s bloody glove into the courtroom and it fit just tightly on his hand, as perfect as it could, you had to be blind to say he didn't do it. And you know what Paul just did? He brought in a bloody glove and said, hey, if you don't believe this now, it's because you're blind. He just proved through the Scripture that even the Jews believed, the Old Testament. He said, listen, case is closed. You are saved by faith. And by faith alone. So Paul makes it very crystal clear here in Genesis 3, going back quoting Genesis chapter 15, that people are saved through faith and faith alone, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, doesn't matter. You are saved by putting your trust in the Word of God. So here's the first thing I want you to show you tonight. Verse 6 shows you the faith of Abraham. Verse 7, I want to talk about the children of Abraham. All right? So what are the implications of being righteous by faith? Paul says this, because Abraham was made righteous by faith, therefore know this. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. How about that? So Paul says, now before that, remember, the Jews said, the only people who are children of Abraham are us. Those who come naturally from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are children of Abraham. Nobody else is. Well, Paul comes up and says, well, because Abraham was saved by faith, he is now not only your father, but he's now the father of all them that believe. Because he believed, he is now the father of all of those that believe after Him. So He's not only the natural Father of the Jews, He still is that, but He is also the spiritual Father of all those that believe. All right? That is Abraham. He is the spiritual Father of all those that believe. That's in Romans 4, verse 16, if you want to look at that tonight. Let me paraphrase that verse for you. It says, salvation is of faith that it might be by grace. And I can stop right there. That's good. For this reason, that the promise might be extended to all the seed, not just the Jews under the law, but to all who have the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Abraham is not just the father of the Jews naturally. Paul says he is also the father of all those that believe. All right? Now, I don't know if y'all sung this growing up. In children's church, VBS, whatever. Father Abraham. Anybody ever sung that? Y'all remember that one? Some of y'all didn't raise y'all's hand. We do? All right. Well, we're about to do a rendition right now. Stand up, Miss Nan. No. How's it go? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, Father Abraham. Then it just goes on until you get your head in there, and then you spin around, and then you sit down. That'll get every child wild. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. Now, I'll be honest with you. Singing that song, that didn't mean a lot to me. I was like, woo, Father Abraham, don't even know who you are, but let's sing it. You know? And to be honest with you, I never understood what it meant to be Father Abraham or to be a child of Abraham. Now, you may be looking at me tonight saying what I used to say. Now, I know when I got saved, I became a child of God. That's obvious. But I didn't know when I got saved, I became a child of Abraham. Some of you may not know that either. You say, how in the world, when I get saved, do I become a child of Abraham? How does that work? Well, I had a picture for you tonight, but you can't see it. If you want to talk about a family tree, okay? Let's look at the family tree. Up here you've got Abraham. Next comes Isaac. Next comes Jacob. Next come his 12 sons. Jacob had a son named Judah. Judah was the son of Jacob. Judah eventually had some sons. They had some sons. They had some sons. Eventually led to a man named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. So you've got this family tree. It starts with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, goes down to David, the one who killed Goliath. Eventually, who's that going to lead to? A virgin named Mary. And guess who came out of the virgin's womb named Mary? Jesus Christ. So in this family tree, you've got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Mary, Jesus. And when you and I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess who gets put in that family tree right under Jesus? Right under Jesus, there are millions of people spread across to a place you can't even see in this family tree. When you and I get saved, we get put in that tree. So guess what that means? Not only is Jesus our Savior, but go up even further and you'll find that Abraham is our Father. So you see how that works? You get put in the family tree, and as you continue to go up, Abraham is our Father. Look at Galatians 3:29. Verse 29 in Galatians 3, it proves it to us. And if you be Christ, in other words, if you're saved, then are you Abraham's seed. There you go. Just promised it to you right there. No matter if you're a Jew, no matter if you're Gentiles like us, you trust in Christ, you get put in that family tree of Abraham, and He becomes our Father. Now, me saying that, to a lot of us, it doesn't mean much that we are a child of Abraham. But look at verse 29 at what it says. What does it mean to be a child of Abraham? If you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. And that next word says heirs, according to the promise. I'll never forget reading that word for the first time. I think it was in Sunday school. I said, hairs. We're hairs. Embarrassing. Heirs according to the promise. What does it mean to be a child of Abraham? It says you are an heir. Now, we all know what an heir is. An heir is someone who inherits the property of their father or their mother upon their death, right? I've been bugging my dad for so many years about that Mustang. Pass that on down, right? But an heir is somebody who inherits the property of their father and their mother. Well, guess what? Now, as believers in that family tree, who's our father? Abraham. Therefore, that means everything God blessed Abraham with, we become heirs of it. You got that? Abraham's our father. Therefore, we become heirs of not only God, we become heirs of Abraham. So what does that mean? Paul is trying his best to tell him this. God blessed your father Abraham with righteousness simply because he believed. Therefore, what Paul is trying to say is because he gave salvation by faith to our father, he'll do the exact same thing to us. We'll inherit the exact same blessing, salvation by faith. That is what Paul's been trying to say this whole time. He said, our father was saved by faith, and I believe that was a blessing. And he says, if our father was saved that way and he inherited that blessing is passed on to us when we believe. So the same way our father was saved, Abraham, is the same way you and I are going to be saved as well through faith. Now, to be an heir of Abraham also means a whole lot more than that. You can study Genesis 12, 15, 17, and 22 to find out what that means, because we get to inherit some of his blessings that God promised. But anyway, we're children of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. So not only tonight, and I'll give you this last point and I'm done. We saw the faith of Abraham in verse 6. The children of Abraham, we are in verse number 7. But tonight, verse number 8 and 9 shows us the blessing of Abraham. All right, I want you to listen to this. The Jews not only say being a child of Abraham is exclusive for us. In other words, only Jews are children of Abraham. That's what they say. They also say the salvation that the God we serve offers is only for Jews as well. That's why they said, remember, if you want to be righteous, you've got to become a Jew, because it is only for us. And do you know, if you read the Gospels, remember John 4, Jesus went through Samaria, wanted to stop there? That's why all of them were absolutely amazed. Because Jews didn't hang out with the Samaritans. That's why the parable of the good Samaritan that takes care of the man there that's beaten, that's why that parable shocked every single person he told it to. Because they hated Samaritans. They thought God hated Samaritans. And Jesus just blows them out of the water with everything he does. But you see, they believed salvation was only for the Jews. And Paul comes up in verse 8 and 9 and wants to prove salvation isn't just for the Jews. Salvation is for the world. It is for the world. And he proves it again by using Scripture in verse number 8. And the Scripture, the only Scripture they had in Paul's time was the Old Testament. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. How about that? If I were to ask you to turn to a place to where you see the gospel in the Bible, very few of us would go to Genesis 12. We would go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Paul says God preached the gospel to Abraham in Genesis 12. And he said this, in thee shall all nations, not just Israel, all nations be blessed. Blessed there means salvation. So he tries to prove to them there, salvation isn't just for you and this group of people over here. Salvation is for all nations. And that is a quote of Genesis 12, verse 3. Now, let me tell you what it says. He just said, in you, Abraham, can all nations, you can translate that, every single person on planet Earth can be blessed through you, Abraham. So how is it possible for us today to still be blessed through Abraham? And I'll tell you this. Because through Abraham came a man who was the Savior of the world. I just told you, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, and came a virgin named Mary, and out of her womb came a man named Jesus. That man named Jesus would eventually go to the cross, die for our sins, rise from the dead, and everybody who puts their trust in Him, I would say, my friends, they're blessed. That's how you can be blessed, through Abraham, because through him came he who was the Savior of the world. And he says in verse 9, "So then they which be of faith are blessed, are saved with believing Abraham." I don't know about you tonight, but that's why I love the gospel. Because the gospel, do you realize that it can work for every single person on planet Earth? The gospel works for everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, rich or poor, religious or non-religious, high class, middle class, low class, or no class. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, the gospel works for you. And that's why God said, go to all the ends of the earth, because it works for everybody. It doesn't just work for people in America. It works for people that you've never even heard the country they're living in. The gospel works for everybody. And you see all these people on TV coming up with solutions for the race problems, coming up with solutions for the political problems. The solution to every problem is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not going to fix the race problem until you start believing in Jesus. You're not going to fix the world's problems until you start believing in Jesus. And we will never have peace until Jesus comes back. All the problems are going to be solved one day. But that is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Paul proved here once again that it does not matter what time you're living in. Whether you're living in the Old Testament or whether you're living in the New Testament right now, there has only and there will only always be one way to God, and that is through faith. Always. Always. And before we end, I want to tell you what next week is going to be about. For me, if I was a Jew fighting Paul on this, you just see me sit down, Jerry. Because he just blasted their case. He said, it's over. I just proved to you salvation is by faith and by faith alone through the very Scripture. Not just my opinion, Scripture proves it. But they don't come up again. And they're going to say something like this. They're going to say, Paul, I understand Abraham saved by faith, whatever. But the reason he was saved by faith is because the law wasn't here yet. When the law came in the book of Exodus, people had to keep that now in order to be saved. The reason Noah and Abraham and all of them were saved is because there wasn't a law to follow yet through faith. Once the law came, you better keep it. You better follow all of it or you're not saved. That's what they said. What happened after the law came? Are you required to keep that to be saved? That's what they taught. And Paul is going to destroy that argument once again next week by teaching the real purpose of the Ten Commandments, the real purpose of the law of God when he gave it to Moses in Exodus chapter number 20. I'm thankful tonight for the cross of Christ. When he saw that you and I couldn't make it on our own, he came down. And he made a way for us to make it through faith in him. It works for everybody. Father, we thank you for the gospel that you have given to us. Lord, it's been here for as long as even Abraham was around. Lord, it was a gospel that was prepared and planned before the foundation of the world. You planned to save all humanity through the Lord Jesus, your Son. And Lord, we want to thank you so much tonight that you provided a sacrifice for our sin. You provided a way for us to be saved. And God, you showed us how to be saved. And Lord, I want to thank you tonight for this precious word. Lord, if we didn't have this, we wouldn't know anything. So Lord, I thank you tonight for this word that you've preserved for us and provided, that we might know you and we might know how to live with you for all of eternity. And Lord, I just pray tonight that we would be people who are hungry for the word, and we would be people who desire more of the word, and be people who are ready to defend the word and share the word. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people, black, white, rich or poor. And I'm so thankful for that tonight, God. We thank you for all that you are to us. Thank you for loving us. Keep us safe as we leave this place. God, be with us as we come back together on Sunday, that you'd meet with us in a special way. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.